Hello and welcome to the Freaking Awesome Podcast. It is Monday, July 30th, 2017. I'm Benjamin Abaya, and joining me today is my creepy twin brother, John Abaya.
I'm not John. I'm Johnny. John is in the bathroom, Ben. You want me to get him?
No, I don't want you to get him.
You sure?
John, yes.
I'm not the good Johnny. I'm the good John. Or is it vice versa?
Or I'm the one.
Do you want to hear a true story and a made-up story?
Yes.
Which one's real and which one's fake? I have two riddles.
It sounds like a foreshadowing of things to come later.
Maybe. Is my dad home yet? I don't know. Is he?
Okay, this is really creepy, actually.
Let me get John, okay?
You mean back. Johnny.
Oh, no, I am Johnny. Wait, which one do you want to speak to?
I'm actually Benny now.
You're Benny? You know, my son loves this one game called Benny and the Ink Machine. Are you Benny from that game?
Yes, I am.
Because he wants your autograph really badly.
Okay. Yes. This is kind of weird now.
It's getting creepy. Let me get John. Hey, guys, I'm John. That was my brother, Johnny, my other brother. Yeah.
That you locked in the bathroom for some odd reason.
Yeah, I had to, because he's in there. It's funny that he wears this weird cape, but I don't know. He looks kind of cool to me.
I wonder if the cape means something, too.
I don't know. Actually, I don't know what you're talking about there, but that would be awesome. We'll discuss that later in the podcast.
Yes. If you're new to the podcast, we usually discuss and give our impressions of what we watch, listen, played, or read throughout the week. And we conclude the main episode. We conclude the episode with the main discussion. This week's main discussion is the new HBO series, Room 104, which was created by the Duplass brothers. That's our main discussion. But before all of that, we have a trailer talk. This week's trailer talk is a film that was directed by George Clooney, titled Suburbicon.
Hi, pal. This is the last time that clown's gonna ignore us. Take care of a kid. These animals took everything from us. I have to make decisions like what's best for the family.
That is a clip of the trailer of Suburbicon, directed by George Clooney, who is well known in his other directed films, The Monuments Men, Idol of March, Leatherheads, and Good Night and Good Luck. It was written by the Coen brothers, co-written by George Clooney and his co-writer, Grant Heslov. I'm pretty sure that's how you pronounce his name. Anyway, on IMDb, this is the plot synopsis. A home invasion rattles a quiet family town. The film stars Matt Damon, Julia Moore, and our favorite newcomer in the Star Wars franchise, Oscar Isaac. John, you got a chance to watch the trailer moments ago, I think.
Yes, this is the first time.
Actually, before. But are you a fan of George Clooney's other films and the Coen brothers' other films they wrote?
I'm a fan mostly of George Clooney of himself. He's a cool guy. The other films, I mean, I don't remember watching many of his films or directorial films. The ones that you name off, I literally never watch any of them. that's me. But I'm a fan of Coen brothers. I really like what they done in the last couple of years, or even their early work with Raising Arizona. That's them, right? Raising Arizona. Not Raising Arizona. What was that one with it is Raising Arizona. Sorry. I was thinking about a TV show. But yeah, this trailer is very cool in the very beginning. It reminds me of Americana, that 1930s, 1950s type of neighborhood that where everything looks perfect and everything. But then everything in the trailer twists a little bit when we learn there's like this invading force going around the neighborhood. And it looks like Matt Damon is protecting his son in this weird, like, almost like Taken style. They even have like a scene in the trailer where they step out, or there's a scene where the son is hiding under the bed, and that just reminds me of Taken a lot, and I was like really surprised about it. And then we get the return of Oscar Isaac mustache in here from Sucker Punch, making the second debut of the thing. I haven't seen Oscar Isaac with a mustache since Sucker Punch. He always either sports a clean shave or a bearded look. It looks like a very cool film. I like how there's like a little twist, and then when the Run the Jewels the song comes on in the middle of the trailer, it fits perfectly. I don't know if they're going for that type of soundtrack in the movie. Probably not. More likely not. It'd be interesting if they do like the American Gangster thing with Jay-Z, doing the soundtrack for that film. But other than that, I'm really looking forward to this film. Just want to see how it plays out. And then there's like a little comedic moment at the end of the film, in the end of the trailer. Sorry, I'm talking about the trailer here. That with Matt Damon. I think they should have never shown that. That looked like a really cool, funny moment.
Yeah, I agree with you. I'm looking forward to the film. I thought the trailer was cut really well. I think when a Coen Brothers film, or even this was written by them, they do really good cuts of their films. Like, it really wants you to anticipate the film and wants you to go out and watch it on the silver screen and whatnot. Yep. About Oscar Isaac's beard or mustache, he actually did grow it back, or I don't know if it was a real mustache, in a show that I talked about on this podcast called Show Me a Hero.
You talked about it before.
No, not really, because I don't think we were even recording at that time.
Oh.
It was a HBO miniseries, and then it was about Nick Wozniacki. I can't even pronounce it now. Mm-hmm. Wozniacki. Who knows?
Wozniacki, the guy who helped find Microsoft or Mac.
It has to do with housing development in New York City, Yonkers. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like, that was the last time I saw him with a mustache, other than like Sucker Punch and everything. Mm. But this script or the trailer looks really great. Something that they are usually good at with writing, the Coen Brothers, is taking like, subtle or mundane things and trying to subvert it with something violent. Like, they did that with something with reading, but I forgot what's the title now. it stars Brad Pitt. Burn After Reading. Yeah, like, they're good at that stuff, and even other, like, there are countless other stuff, like Fargo, where it was like a mundane town and something violent has happened and mm-hmm. they have to solve the case anyway. But going back to here, I think George Clooney, and when he collaborates with the Coen Brothers, it is always something great, from Where Brother Art Thou to even like their latest, I forgot what was their latest, Hail Caesar.
Oh, yes. I like that film too.
So, looking forward, I think it comes out sometime next year. I don't have the complete date, but yeah, looking forward. That was Suburbicon. Suburbicon?
Yes. Am I saying that? Rubicon, coming back to AMC.
That's what I was thinking of, Rubicon and everything. From George Clooney.
Yeah.
John, but speaking of...
Family?
Family, yeah. you watched something with your kids, I'm assuming.
Yes.
So, what did you watch?
So this week, we watched an older film from last year. I don't know if we reviewed this or discussed this about. I think we had before with our guest. I forgot who, but I remember hearing this name. But it was on Netflix this week. And I saw, or not this week, but I guess it was on Netflix. I was scrolling and I saw it. I was like, oh, cool. I never really watched this film. It's from one of my favorite production or studios, I guess. It's not Focus. Lailaka? I don't know how do you say that production company. But They're the ones who did...
I totally don't know how to say it, too.
Yeah, yes. They're the ones who also did Coraline and there's another film they did before Coraline that was a really good film, but I forgot the name of that, too. But yeah, it's a... From 2016, it's the new... Or not the new. The kid-friendly film called Kubo and the Two Strings. I don't know why nobody told you how to unfold your love. So that was actually a song from the movie by I forgot her name. Rutina Spencer? I forgot her name.
It's Regina.
Regina Spencer. How do you say her last name?
Spector. I think it's Spector. Now you have me questioning whether it's the correct name.
But yes. So from IMDb, it's a young boy named Kubo must locate a magical suit of armor worn by his late father in order to defeat a vengeful spirit from the past. And it stars Art Patterson as Kubo, Charlize Theron as Monkey, Ralph Fiennes as Moon King, Brenda Volko as Camaro, and George Takei as Hasdro, Ronnie Mara as the sisters, and Matthew McConaughey as Beetle. And I have to say, this film is really good. I was really surprised. Surprised that I know it's called Leica. I think that's how I'm saying that word, right?
I think you're correct. That is actually the way to say it.
Leica, yeah. So yeah. They did a great and wonderful job. The animation, again, is like stop motion-ish. With a few special effects here and there. And everything looks so nice and so like just magical, the everything. And it takes this Japanese lore. I haven't really researched it to a far effect that it is based on this like story about Kubo. I'm saying his name wrong. And he has to like journey to find something. Well, it says there in the armor basically. And then he has like a little band of misfits traveling with him, with the monkey, the beetle, and this little paper or an origami guy that looks like a samurai guy. I'm just wondering too. Did you watch this, Ben?
No, I was looking forward to, but I just didn't have time. The other films that you mentioned that Laika or Leica has created is Paranorman.
Yes, I watched
and
that
the
too.
Box Trolls.
I haven't watched the Box Trolls. I swore they made. Oh, okay. So they done Jaws with Corpse Bride. That's what I was thinking of. But they didn't really make it all the way.
No.
Yeah. But I guess Coraline is the first movie. I was like, oh, I'm really surprised. But yeah, the story is very a hero's journey type venture with Kubo, and it gets kind of sad at times. And my kids notice that, like they're noticing the themes of films more. Every time we watch films, like, there is always a sad moment, but then the hero, you know, bands together and becomes victorious, or you know they there's a little story beat by beat, and then this one really showcased it nicely. From my son's perspective, he knows a lot of things in this from the latest Zelda game, Breath of the Wild. All the costumes and stuff, there are similar things, and he put two together because this one's based on the Japanese story that of Zelda too. They're based in Japan, and a lot of their outfits in Breath of the Wild is Japanese style, and he's like, oh, he's like putting two together. So I like that, how he's figuring it out and everything. Everyone did a great job, I think. The way it's not too much like what do you say, dialogue in the movie, but they visually show everything. It's very stunning, and how. There's even a cool, nice story to this movie that I did not expect, that caught me off guard a little bit, because I thought one thing I thought the movie was going to be, it was a whole different story. And yeah, it just felt really magical. And I really appreciate that Laika continues their streak of like original stories and just bringing it, you know, doing something more different than Pixar and DreamWorks. I just really appreciate them.
I think what thing that this that I was looking forward to is because of the animation, like claymation they do, but also like you said, like bringing a story that's unique to the masses. The only thing I had a gripe of, because it's a Japanese film or a Japanese folktale, I'm assuming, that they hired like white American actors to voice majority of the cast. I don't know if it had to do with like restrictions of like English actors, even though there's like I'm assuming there's a lot of Japanese.
There is. American. All the side characters are mostly either Asian or Japanese descent.
Yeah, so that's like the one thing. Like, I'm all for like, you know, representation and everything. And I think that was the only thing that turned me off, is something that is very progressive still had like a little, you know, flaws in it. Mm-hmm. Or big flaws, if you say.
I kind of wish they had Kubo voice as a Japanese young man or boy, because that would be much better, like, in the story. Like, at least, to me, like, knowing that, they can be represented, even though they're scissor voices. Yeah. But, you hit, like, the nail in the coffin. Not the coffin, but I forgot what the phrase is that.
I don't know. I actually don't know what's the actual phrase too.
Same here.
But that's where did you watch it?
On Netflix. It's still on. I don't know if it will still be on next month in August. You know how Netflix tick off movies every other month. I believe it still will be on in August still. So you can catch it if you haven't watched it.
Okay. Cool. And I've done something that's not, I listened to something, I don't know how to segue to this, but, it's probably as colorful as Kubo and the Two Strings, the album is, when it comes to the music that is, you know, coming from the album. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I listened to the newest Arcade Fire album, Everything Now. So that was a portion of the, I think, self-titled album, the song that's self-titled from the album. I don't know why I'm confused. Everything Now. So Everything Now is the fifth studio album from the Canadian indie rock band. Their previous album, Reflector, was out I just realized almost 5 years ago. And that was produced by, I forgot his name, from LCD Sound System. It's on top of the mind, but it was produced by the leader of that band. This album, Everything Now, is now produced. Well, half of it is produced by one half of Daft Punk.
Oh, wow.
I forgot which half it was.
Is it the one with the big glass on his helmet, or the one with the small glass with his helmet?
I don't know which one it was. I think they actually have specific names too.
Really? They're those people? I did not know that.
I don't think they're nameless.
Are they? They're characters from Destiny, though. Everyone knows that, right? Or Halo.
Yeah, yeah. I think they don't know that. But yeah, once again, like I said, their last album was 5 years ago. It was Reflector. This album, it takes the same sort of themes and direction when it comes to the music and how the way it sounds, and it just kind of amplifies it and kind of not. It kind of dials it down a little bit, because Reflector was a double album, so this one is just one album, and I think it's less than an hour long, and. Yeah, they're going through the same themes. Like, my favorite song is, Everything Now and Creature Comfort, which deals with, body image and also, insecurity. How we are creatures who are not comfortable with ourselves sometimes. So we do certain things to boost our morality, or not even morality, but just to boost ourselves, even though it seems wrong, or it is wrong, actually. Then you have songs like Everything Now, which is more heavily a dance song and whatnot. There's a mixture of songs that are very they say art rock or art, like it goes to the genre of art pop, mm-hmm. I'm speaking. But yeah, like sonically, it's really well produced. But I don't know if it's like one of my favorite albums. I still think the Suburbs and their earlier stuff is better. But I think this route is much more risky and daring. And I really think their ambitions, I admire that. Like, I like when artists, especially musical artists, when they take their sound and turn it upside down and, you know, do certain things that are not really, I guess, favorable to their fan base. Mm-hmm. But also, it's easier to, I guess, digest to, like, the newer fan base. And I think that's better for their careers. I think it just gives them a more opportunity. It gives them a better opportunity to like expand with their sound and not just been like Funeral and Neon Bible and the Suburbs all have like a certain sound to them that you could see or you could listen to it, you know, break apart after like Reflector. And I think that's a good thing for the band. Are you a fan of Arcade Fire?
Not really. I know of their songs, like Suburban or Suburb?
The Suburbs. I think I talked about that when we first had, in like the initial podcast from like 5 years ago or seven
years
ago.
That's how old that song is? Wow.
Suburbs? Yeah, like 7 or 8 years ago. I think it's like 2008 or 2009 or something like that.
Man, that's a, I feel old.
Or 2011 probably. Like,
okay, yeah.
No, no,
it's still probably, that's a long time ago. It's more than five years. I felt like that song just came out like 2 or 3 years ago for some reason.
The Suburb? Like the album?
Yeah, yeah.
The song?
Yeah, like, the song, mostly the song. Like maybe because I always hear that song mostly still in the alternative station.
Yeah, people use it in their trailers and whatnot.
Yep.
Background music for stuff. Yeah, but that is Arcade Fire. It's out now. Everything Now is out now. So yeah, I highly recommend if you're a fan, and I still highly recommend it if you're not. So moving on, we have a main discussion, which is from HBO. It's a series created by Jay and Mark Duplass, the Duplass brothers, who created Mumblecore, which is a certain type of filmmaking. Which they use improvisation and like a script that's but bare bones and whatnot. But this week's main discussion is the new television series from HBO, Room 104.
Tonight is for us. Let's travel back in time. 56 years.
Hey! You're scaring me.
This isn't a game.
This is the moment you enter the unknown.
So that is Room 104. That is a clip from Room 104. It is a American television anthology series created by Jay and Mark Duplass. This is a synopsis from IMDb. Anthology series set in a single room of an average American hotel. Each episode tells a different story of the assorted guests who pass through Room 104. The stories range from funny and romantic to sad and scary. So last Friday, they released the first episode, or it was a season premiere of the first episode, which was titled Ralphie. Mm-hmm. And for those who are listening, that's the first episode, so we're just going to talk about that. We might have like a season finale roundabout and our thoughts as a whole of the series. But so far, we're just going to talk about that first episode.
And we're going to kind of spoil it because it's kind of hard to talk about a 30-minute thing without spoiling it. Like,
I feel like we spoiled it already in the top of this episode.
Well, if we didn't spoil it. Like, there's a still, that's the like the meat of the episode.
Yes. So, like we said, like the first episode with stars, I forgot their names.
Melanie Diaz.
Melanie Diaz.
Ethan Kent and Gavin Kent of Ralph and Ralphie.
And, oh, they're actual twins.
Yes. And Ross Partridge as Bradley.
Okay, thank you for that. I accidentally, like, deleted off my screen, so I had
They even have on the IMDb page, even the voice of the operator. And for some reason, she gets top billing on the call sheet. I don't know if that's true or false. I don't know.
IMDb, she doesn't get top billing.
Oh, okay. But no, on the episode. On the episode.
Blue. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. don't want to forget, it's also directed by, I think, a newcomer, Sarah Adeen Smith. So, for a fun fact, like, in the 12 episodes he span, I think 50% are directed by female directors, which is a plus. But I think everything was written by the Duplass brothers, from what I'm reading right now. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so this is a really, really quick synopsis of the episode we have also watched. Things go horribly aware when a babysitter arrives at room 104 to watch an unusual boy named Ralph. Like we said, this is going to be a spoiler a portion of the podcast. So, John, what's your thoughts on the episode? And are you a fan of anthology series like The Twilight Zone?
I am a fan of Twilight Zone, even a new style of anthology like American Horror Story. I stopped watching that, though, for a while because I don't have cable and it's hard to watch FX stuff without paying. So, yeah. And then there's another anthology out there. I forgot what was another one. Try and think off my head. I mean, there's stuff on Netflix, a lot of anthology. There's one. Black Mirror. that's another one. I only watched a couple episodes of Black Mirror, but I like how that style, too, of them telling horror stories. And so I never really watch an anthology that basically does even horror and comedy and other ones. Always watch everything I've seen is mostly sci-fi and horror. So I don't know if Rumor.
Well, the original Twilight Zone had a mixture of everything.
Oh, it did? Oh, so yeah. The ones I've been watching then all end, there's always like a twist at the ending and it's always like a sci-fi theme. So I did not know.
Yeah, they're more like that, but like they still have. Like, we don't know if they're going to go that route with this series, too. All we know, because you're saying that you don't know if this series, because technically this first episode is like a horror route.
So. Yeah. First one, yeah. But, I really like this episode. I think Melanie Diaz, I always enjoy when she's on screen or she has a part, did a great job. And then the two twins in the movie, I mean, it's not in the movie, in the episode. It's not really a spoiler. You don't know why there's two of these people. It gets kind of creepy at times. It's probably the worst thing a babysitter can encounter if they don't know what's up with the child. It's interesting how this is all just like bottle episodes. Or not bottle episodes, but everything's shot just in one room. So it's literally just like just people inside a room. Like she is babysitting this kid and all she's doing is reading a book, watching TV, eating pizza and whatnot. And then the kid does this thing where he tells this story and then gets a little crazy and you don't know what's happening until the very end. And they did all a wonderful job. I'm anticipating what's going to come next now. Because this one, right now, this first episode has me high, and I really enjoy that they're just 30 minutes.
Has you high?
Not high, but my enjoyment was high. Like, because this is only like a 25-minute episode that I really enjoy. They can pack this type of story in and just tell it real quick, and I can't wait how they go and do the next ones. And it sucks because when you watch the HBO app, the trailer plays right afterward. I forgot about that because they do that for Game of Thrones and I always skip it, but I saw some of the parts for episode 2 and I did not know, these certain actors are in this show. I was like, oh, I didn't really watch the full trailer for Room 104. I watched like a teaser only because the premise is really intriguing to me. So now I'm like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like all these, actors I hadn't seen in a while. Doing like these small parts in on the TV show has me more interested now.
So what I like about the show, and I think because it's the creators, the Duplass brothers are well known for their micro budgeting for their films, and that's the reason why most of their films feel like they're improvised, because they are pretty much have like a skeleton of a script, and then they just fill in all the blanks. They have like a overall story for their scripts and dialogue, some dialogue, but mainly it's improvised. And I think I like that structure when it comes to these type of like ventures into filmmaking. I think they did a really great job with this. Then after reading reviews, because there are some outlets out there, media outlets, who've watched like almost all the episodes, or at least like 6 of the 12 episodes. And I noticed that they say that this first episode is like their worst episode in the series. Yeah. So, I mean, that just makes it seem like, oh, wow, now we're up for like a better, like our expectations are now like even going to be even better, because you and I thought this was a great episode.
Yeah.
And
for what story it tells, yeah.
Yeah. And I think this is a type of show that afterwards you have to like also deconstruct. There are a lot of imagery here that I'm trying to figure out, like, what are they trying to say here? Like, we mentioned, like, one of the kids, Ralphie, wears a cape. Ralph wears a
shirt. So what do you think about that? Well, I don't even know what you're talking about when they have a cape.
No, I was thinking that he could be, like, a super villain.
Or oh, wow. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. And then, or, like, it's duality. Like, there's a, you know, Clark Kent and a Superman, so Ralphie, you know, that, but in a villainous way. Like, he is the, antagonist.
Yes, yes.
Then you, it is revealed, and they kind of hint it in the actual show when the kid talked about one's a true story and one's a fake story. And I think that is a very, like, foreshadowing for us to what to expect, especially for Meg, the character that Miss Diaz plays, the babysitter. And I think that is like, now you start to question, like, what is this episode? Whose story are we telling in this episode? And you get to see whose story you're told. That's why it is really, they did a really great job in, like you said, it's like a bottle episode. And I think they're really good at that. They know how to, control their budget. And then by doing this, they get more story and more creative with their characters. And I think it's admirable when it comes to that. Other than that, like, I think the story is well done. I could see the criticism towards it, because it feels very like one note. Like, oh, okay, this person might be not like that. You know, is probably insane or it's not sane or whatnot. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I'm looking forward to more episodes. I've never watched the trailer for this. And I didn't watch the next episode because I know it's, I feel like I'm going to be spoiled by it.
Yep, I say that.
There's like such an expectations you would have, like, especially for an anthology film, like, oh, where's this going to be in the film? But I really like how they're, like, the cinematography and everything about it is really well done. And watching this late at night really helps too, because it sets the mood and the vibe of watching it.
I agree.
Do you remember, John, when we were little, we did something similar to this, but with, like, kids, where we come in the room and come out of the room, but we dress really quickly, and they were wondering, like, how do you dress so fast?
Wait, as a trick?
Kids. Yeah, as a trick.
Yeah, yeah, we did that, like, to people, guests, and stuff like
that. Yeah, yeah. They didn't know we're twins yet, we, like, dress within a second, and then we're, like, come out of the door, and then we're, yeah.
That's what they did that a couple of times.
Sort of remind me of.
So, which one are you, Ralph or Ralphie?
I don't know. I don't even know. We're actually one person now.
Yeah, the listeners doesn't know. Maybe we are one person and doing a voice twice, talking to each other to get the thoughts out of our head. You never know. Yeah.
I mean, that's why it's called the freaking awesome, because the
freaks,
budget. Production value of this is freaking awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Or, yeah, we're freaks. Anyway, that's it for our main discussion. It's really quick because it's just one episode, but we'll probably go back to it towards the end when the season finale is approaching. So, John, that's Room 104. It comes, I think, every Friday night. I believe this is a show that Friday night. I think it's rare for them to have a Friday night show, but it's only 25 minutes long. So, John, where can they find you online?
They can find me on Twitter, I guess, at BioArts. I haven't really tweeted that much. I'm on and off. I don't really have time to like tweet. I used to tweet a lot, but not anymore. But yeah, just find me on BioArts.
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Benjamin Abaya. Yeah. You can find all of us on thefreakingawesome.com. You can find us on Twitter too, as the freaking awesome, on TFA now. That means the freaking awesome now. At us or DM us if you have any recommendations, things that you think we should review or talk about on the podcast, or ideas you want. You can also email us at contacts@thefreakingawesome.com. If you have any questions, any concerns or recommendations, get us on there. Please listen and review us. Leave a little like review on our iTunes or iTunes page if you like. We'll read it out loud on this podcast. other than that, I think that's it, John. Right?
Yep. I have to mention too. So this is like behind the scenes. We're recording this in live with like a soundboard. So I have these like sounds with me. Tell me a number between 1 and 20, and then I'll play that one sound.
What?
I have a soundboard with me because we have like a soundboard. Okay. So between 1 to 20, give me the number, and I'll play that sound in that.
Okay, my favorite number is 2.
2? Okay, this is weird. I guess you are Ralphie. That's a chainsaw, Ben.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I cannot really listen to it.
In your side, you can't listen to it, but I can hear it.
Okay. Yeah. Can you control what could be coming in and out of that soundboard?
Yes, I can put whatever sound. Right now, the only things I've been playing are like the trailer and our theme music, or not the trailer, but the stuff we've been talking to.
Do you have the outro?
I do have an outro. Okay. You want to listen to it or save that?
Oh, no. What's the number for the outro?
No, that wasn't the custom panel. So it literally is the last one.
Well, I'm Benjamin Abaya.
I'm John Abaya.
And this has been the Freaking Awesome Podcast.